when I open those big doors and I smell the incense and I see the icons and I hear the sound of the bells, immediately my mind is triggered to the notion of worship. I am here to worship God. I'm not here to get anything. I'm here to give myself in worship to God. And it has been transformational from that perspective as well.
Today on Come Receive the Light, we share the spiritual journey of a man who for more than 30 years has been known as the Bible Answer Man.
I think it's important not only to know, you know, what the Bible is, but how many books are in the Bible, how many books in the Old Testament, how many in the New Testament, how many people wrote the Bible. These things make the Bible what it's supposed to be, which is the expression of an entire understanding of life. It's a biblical worldview.
Father John Peck shares in our second conversation today the incredible importance of teaching God's Word to children.
Try to create a program of tiered and incremental knowledge and rewards, and you'll see kids eat it up and take off with it. But again, don't give them something you don't have.
Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts. Well, we're all about the Bible today. Is the Bible something you pick up and carry to church, perhaps never to open? Is it a study resource for you and your family, or is it just a table decoration somewhere? Well, we're going to challenge you a bit today about studying God's Word. Actually, we're going to challenge you a lot about studying His Word and teaching it to our children. Psalm 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." A good friend of mine said not too long ago, one day I was wondering if all of my teaching efforts were paying off, talking about him and his wife teaching the Bible to their children. Did they really understand? Was I doing it right? And then my son came up to me after one of our Bible studies and proclaimed, "God is so fun." I knew this was a good indication that I was on the right track. We're going to try and help you get on the right track in our first conversation today. Here's Father Chris.
Father John Peck of St. George Greek Orthodox Church in Prescott, Arizona, is with me today to talk about basic biblical knowledge for our children. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thanks, Father Chris.
When it comes to biblical knowledge, what should our goal be? I mean, is it about memorizing verses or knowing stories? What do you think it is, Father?
I think the ultimate goal has to be knowledge of Jesus Christ and His gospel. You know, many people, we talk about the gospel, we preach the gospel, but not a lot of people can define the gospel. And say Paul, for example, defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, which is basically Christ crucified and risen. Everybody goes, yes, of course, that's true. But people need to know that that is the good news throughout the Old and the New Testament. The Scriptures proclaim Christ, and this is what we want kids to see in anything that they're doing in biblical studies.
Okay, and when do you think is it time to start teaching our children about the Bible?
My opinion, it is as soon as they're born. St. Paul talks about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, addressing each other. It's a simple matter to sing some of the verses from our liturgy or verses from Vespers, some of the Theotokians, to tune a child's ear and heart to the biblical idiom, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's a simple matter. A lot of people are concerned about sort of what program should we have, how should we do this, what do we want them to learn. But the truth is that the Scriptures reveal Jesus Christ. You can go right from there. We teach our children the Lord's Prayer. We teach them the Ten Commandments. We teach them the Golden Rule. Those are easy things to start with, and kids grow up thinking they've known it and that everybody knows it from their childhood. So, again, it's not very complicated.
You realize here you're going counterculture. What you're saying is that you want parents to actually be parents and to lead biblically, and that's counterculture, as you know, because some of the kids today have more maturity than their parents spiritually.
They do. That's why I don't like, this is just me speaking, I'm not in favor of children's sermons, because children's sermons end up being sideways sermons to adults.
Okay.
And when you do that, the kids aren't paying attention. I do believe that Christianity is a radical departure from the philosophy of the last 5 minutes, and it requires a radical commitment. However, I do feel that it's a very joyful commitment. It's dynamic. It's filled with vitality and life, and it's very exciting. When people get into the scriptures, sometimes they don't like it because it starts to change them. Mm-hmm. It's not just a subject. The Word of God is effectual, and it begins to work on someone, sometimes in ways they don't like so much. But this is the Christian life. If someone wants to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ, particularly in the Orthodox Church, where we're surrounded by the images from Scripture and the songs from Scripture and the words of Scripture and the thoughts of Scripture, they'll try to cover it up as much as possible, or they'll embrace it and be changed.
I think a lot of kids now face questions from non-religious friends, those who are either from atheistic homes or they're just non-Christian, as we said, whether or not the Bible is accurate. Some will take its literal sense. Some will say, oh, it's a nice book. Some will say, yeah, I remember it. It's on my parents' nightstand, but it's loaded with dust. I mean, how can parents arm their children to handle those kinds of, I don't want to call them confrontations, but frankly, I think that's what they are. They're confrontations.
They are. And in my experience, and I've actually had a lot of experience with this with young people, high schoolers, elementary kids, even to this week, my experience is that 99% of the time, the kids who confront our children are actually curious. They're not even combative. St. John Chrysostom said, all the evils in the church come from not knowing the scriptures. I think it's important not only to know, you know, what the Bible is, but how many books are in the Bible? How many books in the Old Testament? How many in the New Testament? How many people wrote the Bible? How long did it take them? Where is Jerusalem on the map? These things make the Bible not set apart from life. They make it what it's supposed to be, which is the expression of an entire understanding of life. It's a biblical worldview. I've discovered that simply by teaching things from liturgy, things from iconography, drawing scripture into them, prayer, morality, it's all one big whole in our tradition. But by not segmenting it, this is worship, this is liturgy, this is prayer, this is scripture, and they're not related unless we tie them together, but by presenting them as one whole, like a giant ball of bread dough, kids, they come up with their own answers, which are usually correct. They don't try to answer questions they don't know the answer to, but they're able to express their own experience. And as you know, Father, you can't argue with someone's experience. If somebody says, oh, I don't believe in organized religion, I think the church is this, that, and the other, and it's terrible, even a child can say, mm-hmm, well, that's not my experience.
Right, exactly.
And you can't argue with that.
From my experience, Father, I've seen that young people really want sacred images in their life. They want to know what to do, what is right from what is wrong. They want to know the truth. They want to see things of holiness. And it's really our generation and our past generations, they used to set the standard for that. But I'm afraid that we're no longer those sacred images for our young people. We're compromising images. I wonder if you could address that a bit.
I don't think people are willing to stand up and change their opinions about life or politics or morality to be in line with their faith. They make some excuse for it, or they rationalize it. Well, unfortunately, kids see right through this too. They know that it's not that important, it's not that real, and it can mean whatever I want it to mean, which means it means nothing. Try anything. I have several different programs I use. They're not necessary to use. I've got a workbook. Try to create a program of tiered and incremental knowledge and rewards, and you'll see kids eat it up and take off with it. But again, don't give them something you don't have. Just try it and see what works. It's not an on or off sort of thing. It's not, we'll try it once, and if it doesn't work, we'll never do it again. This isn't the Wile E. Coyote School of Biblical Studies. We can adjust, we can tweak, we can make things work. And truthfully, if it's important, we should be already doing this.
Father, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks very much, Father. Remember us in your holy prayers.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, a very familiar verse, says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." You may debate the true meaning of that proverb, but you can't deny that if a journey is not started, you'll never reach the destination. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. If you just joined us, where have you been? I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos, and we are a nonprofit outreach. You can find us on the web at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Our feature conversation today is with a man who, and I don't believe this is shared in the interview, has 12 children. He and his wife have 12 children, so they know all about teaching God's Word to those in their family. Here again is Father Chris.
Today we would like to welcome Hank Hanegraaff to our show. Hank serves as the president and chairman of the Board of Christian Research Institute. He is also the host of the nationally syndicated Bible Answer Man radio broadcast, which is heard daily. Hank is the author of over 20 books, including the Complete Bible Answer Book, the Creation Answer Book, and Christianity in Crisis. Hank has recently converted to Orthodox Christianity, and we hope to learn more about his journey today. Welcome, Hank. Nice to have you with us.
It is just an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about your journey to Orthodoxy, because I'm sure that this is something that people will be interested in.
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. I mean, it's a journey that started probably back in 2003 when I began to seriously study the matter of theosis or union with God. And it continued organically through many, many years, my studies, but also through seeing people in various parts of the world who not only cared about truth, but really understood what it meant to experience Jesus Christ. And eventually, I got to a place where I was very discouraged with what was happening in the evangelical church. I think of an author named Sky Gettoni. He wrote a book called The Divine Commodity, and I think it sort of sums up my sentiment, the idea that God would be commodified, where Christ would become a means to an end as opposed to being the end. And Gettoni actually found himself at one point sitting in the auditorium of a very large church, and his experience was sort of my disillusionment as well as it grew over those years between that period of time and today. And in his particular situation, he was looking at the presenters flashing their high-definition smiles, and he was looking at a stage that was quite literally alive. He called it a mechanical beast. It was moving, breathing smoke, shooting lasers, and so forth. And when he exited that expression of church, he had to wonder, is this what Christ envisioned? Is this why he came and suffered and died? Is this why he conquered death and evil so that we may congregate for multimedia worship extravaganzas in his name? And that is my experience. I became increasingly disillusioned and eventually decided that I wanted to explore Orthodoxy. I'd had many experiences with Orthodoxy around the world, but there was always a language barrier, whether in Moscow or in Kyiv in the Ukraine or in the West Bank, in Jerusalem. There was always a language barrier. So one day I told my wife, I said, you keep going to the church that we're going to with the kids. I'm doing some exploration. And I Googled and found a church very, very close to us called St. Nectarius in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I went to that church, and I had a great, great liturgy. And afterwards, when I was receiving the fellowship bread, one of the fathers said to me, "Are you Hank Hanegraaff?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, my goodness, we love your ministry." And then later on, when I was in the fellowship hall, several people came up to me, one of them whom had come to faith in Christ as a result of our ministry and my impact on his life. And so I immediately felt welcome, and then we went a few more weeks, and finally in the fourth week, my wife and kids were saying to me, Dad, we want to go with you. And I said, no, you're not going to go with me because you'll freak out. You have no context for what you're going to experience.
Right.
Well, they were very persistent. They kept saying, we want to go with you, we want to go with you, we want to go with you. And finally I said, well, okay, I'm going to get a little primer for you. If you read it, you can go with me. And so I got this little primer from Frederica Matthews Green, and sure. I made them read it, and then they went with me. And the same thing happened with them that happened with me. They absolutely loved the liturgy. And so one thing led to another. It was very, very organic, as I mentioned before, and finally meeting lots of people there and loving the people and seeing the people that were impacted by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We became more comfortable, and finally, after 2.5 years of pining for the Eucharist, we finally decided to be chrismated. And the rest is history. I did not, for the life of me, expect what would happen the next day. I guess I was a little naive, but my whole world blew apart thereafter in many different ways, including being diagnosed with cancer and being unceremoniously booted out of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and much more. But, you know, Father Chris, in the whole, the negative has been far outweighed by the positive.
I find it, well, there's a couple of things that come up. Of course, it's a journey from 2003, as you said, but I'm sure many things in your life interplayed into all of that, your trips to those sacred sites throughout the world. But you also found, and God directed you to, I believe, a very Christ-centered church in St. Nectarios with Father Stephen and the other priests that are there. That church is known for its forward approach to sharing the gospel of Christ, not only with people who are cradle Orthodox, but those who are also searching for home. So I'm grateful to God that you found that place, because it truly is a special place. Yeah. I'm concerned about that being summarily expelled from the NRB. I was a member of the NRB. I think it was only the second Orthodox Christian to ever become a member of the NRB years ago when we founded the Orthodox Christian Network, which then really was just Come Receive the Light, our national program that we're having the interview on today with you. And I remember being interviewed because they didn't want to accept me at first. And they said, well, you can't use the term father. And I said, okay, but I will. And they said, we want to know when you were saved. And I said, well, let me go back and look. I said, I guess it would have been the day of my baptism. That would have been. Oh, well, that's a good answer. We'll let you in. So I was able to come in. And frankly, when I attended those meetings, people were very kind to me, very good to me. But I felt almost as if we were the gnat on the elephant walking through the room. And people just watching and seeing who we were. They were suspicious of us, which is really sad, because I think we have to, and you're the Bible answer man, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong here, but we have to realize that the scripture that they preach from, those who came to know Christ in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, that came from the church that delivered the scripture to the world and kept it safe, and allowed the books to be selected in the first and second ecumenical councils. So it's hard for me to swallow that you would be expelled from it, but it is what it is, I guess, Hank.
Yeah, I think in my particular case, it was because I did a program which was NRB television, mm-hmm. and they felt as though my conversion to Orthodoxy would be detrimental to their constituency, and mm-hmm. So perhaps if I were not in a visible TV platform, yes, in NRB, yes, I could have retained my membership.
Well, be that as it may, it's in past history, and we, you know, we praise God for the courage that you've had to come forward. I'm just wondering, what was sort of a final motivation for the conversion? You give the story, but was there one thing, a tipping point, that kind of put it right over the top for you?
Oh, no question about it. In fact, we would sit and we went to St. Nectarius for 2.5 years before we were chrismated, but we would sit there and pine for the Eucharist. I mean, if there's one thing, above all other things, it is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. It is something that I believe with all my heart. It obviously, as you know, was the position of the early church right through the time of Martin Luther. I mean, Martin Luther himself believed in the real presence of Christ. There's an interesting story where Martin Luther was debating Zwingli, the Marsberg Castle in Germany in 1529, and Zwingli was accusing Luther of bread worship. And he said to Luther, "How in the world can Christ really be present in the elements?" And Luther responded by saying, "If you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ could really be present in the elements." Hmm. And with the Eastern Church, Luther believed this to be the, though a Latin phrase, the mysterium tremendum et fascinans. In other words, the mystery that causes us to tremble and yet attracts us. So, you know, for Luther, there was no explanation. Later on in Lutheranism, they had an explanation. It was in with and under, just as the Roman Catholics have an explanation, which is transubstantiation. But I really appreciate the Eastern Church perspective on this as a mystery akin to the mystery of the Incarnation and the mystery of the Trinity. But again, if there was one singular thing that drove me, it was a 104-year-old lady that we used to watch when she was 102. Now she's 104, but she'd shuffle up and she'd take communion, and my wife and I would look at one another and say, "That's going to be us one day." And it has not disappointed. I think if there is a singular issue, that's it. And I think that as the Protestant denominations continue to fracture, they also continue to disregard the body and blood of Jesus Christ, making it very, very occasional in terms of participating. And even in some cases, I was speaking at a large mega church not all that long ago, and the pastor, before he introduced me, said, "You know, if you want to partake of the Lord's Supper, there's a jug of Kool-Aid in the back and some crackers. You can help yourself on the way out." So there's a sense in which the liturgy is the Eucharist, and the Eucharist is the liturgy. It's a seamless garment, and that is what I pine for, and it was the main reason, although there are many other reasons I could give you, that was the paramount reason that I converted to Orthodox.
Well, that's beautiful, and clearly the Orthodox Christian faith is centered on worship, but centered on the Eucharist, the receiving of the body and blood of Christ, which is the apex for any Orthodox Christian, that which we pine for.
Let me say something. I sorry to interrupt you, but I just love what you just said. When you talked about worship, when I opened those big doors and I smell the incense and I see the icons, and I hear the sound of the bells, immediately my mind is triggered to the notion that you just mentioned, which is the notion of worship. I am here to worship God. I'm not here to get anything. I'm here to give myself in worship to God. And it has been transformational from that perspective as well.
I can imagine that my being cradle Orthodox, I don't know if I appreciate it as much as someone coming in, but we know through the fathers of the church that the senses are the windows into the soul. And when you come into the Orthodox Christian church, you are literally bombarded in every way, shape, or form. There is no one who can stand there and say something special, something divine, something transcendent is not happening here at this moment. And obviously that's what you experienced. I would like to go back just for a minute to, you've been known as the Bible answer man for 30 years. That is an incredible accomplishment. I just wonder if you could tell us briefly, for those who may not know, how did that all begin?
Well, it began 3 decades ago when I became president of the Christian Research Institute. So it was the late 80s, and we had a broadcast called the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So when I became president, I inherited that broadcast, and I oftentimes chafed at the fact that I was called the Bible Answer Man. I said, no, I'm the host of a broadcast called the Bible Answer Man Broadcast. But, you know, over the years, I've become branded as the Bible Answer Man Broadcast. That has Bible Answer Man, and that is how people, know me. And, again, in the term of marketing, it is a branding that has stuck. And it's been very helpful on the one hand, but also very humbling on the other, because the more you learn, and someone with your erudition knows this probably better than anyone, the more you learn, the more you realize how little you know in the scope of what could be known. So as I do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm asked questions about the Bible, Bible difficulties, historical questions. I'm asked about comparative religions. I'm asked about cults. A wide variety of subjects, and over the time, you tend to learn a tremendous amount because you're actively learning during that whole period of time, and that is one of the reasons I'm praying that God heals me with respect to the cancer, whether through medicine or supernaturally, because I think my well is now deeper than it ever has been. I have more to offer than I ever have had to offer. And so I'm delighted with the position that God has given me. It has reached literally tens of thousands of people, millions of people probably. I don't want to use any hyperbole. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a great privilege, and I've certainly seen when I've done vlogs and Facebook Lives in recent weeks how many people respond. I mean, we're trying to tip it up to about 100,000, but we started just recently using social media platforms, and some of these platforms immediately you have 68 or 70,000 people responding from all over the world to what you're doing. So it's been enormously gratifying and an opportunity to continue to impact the world.
Well, that's going to happen clearly with this interview as well. We're going to put it on the social media platforms that we have and also our website. And in the social media world, you're dealing with about 800,000 people that come in and out of the Facebook page on a daily basis. Wow. And about 7 million worldwide in 92 countries, I think it is, that are actually listening. So we don't know. We don't know why this happens, and we are used hopefully only for the glory of God and not for our own glorification. That's the major thing. One final question. Tell us about the Christian Research Institute. Where is that headed now?
Well, you know, there are a lot of wild cards, if you want to use secular terminology right now, because I have been diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma. In fact, just an hour and a half ago, I had a port put into my chest. So they make sort of a quarter-size hole in your chest, and they put a port in there to receive chemotherapy and to withdraw blood and so forth. And so, you come out of something like that, and you've been sedated, and you do an interview, and you say, wow, it's absolutely amazing in this day and age that you could be in the hospital having a port put into your chest and do an interview a short time later, but that's the world in which we live, and I intend to take many people through my experiences as I go through chemotherapy, not because I want to glorify myself. That's not the point. It is to give comfort to others. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, in this world you have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world, and the Lord Jesus Christ has enveloped me in a blanket of peace during this whole process. I don't know what the future holds. I'm continuing to do the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. I'm going to be doing it live this afternoon, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so we're continuing on in all facets of our ministry. Of course, the Christian Research Institute is ultimately not dependent on me. Many other people can come in and pinch hit. And so we see the Christian Research Institute actually expanding dramatically in an ironic way as a result of my conversion. What's interesting is that the vast majority of people who are in evangelical Protestant churches have not disowned me. They know that I've never gone off on anything half-cocked. And so they know maybe I don't understand the reason Hank converted to Orthodoxy, but I know Hank. Yeah, and I trust Hank. And so they've stuck with us. They haven't headed for the exits. But on the other hand, as you're pointing out right now, Father Chris, there's a whole world that I was completely, I wasn't communicating with that world, and today I have that opportunity to communicate with a constituency that I've never really had the opportunity to have in-depth dialogue with. So I'm very, very grateful for the new doors that the Lord has opened for the Christian Research Institute. And, at the end of the day, we all recognize our own mortality. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. And I made the decisions that I made not because I wanted to expand our ministry or contract our ministry. I made them because truth and light really do matter.
They certainly do. Hank, thank you so much for being with us today. You have our prayers, and I'm sure that those who will hear this broadcast throughout the world will be praying for you as well. We will stay in touch for sure, my friend.
Thank you, Father Chris.
If you're not familiar with Hank Hanegraaff and the Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI, I encourage you to find out where the broadcast is aired in your area and listen. I know you will appreciate it and benefit from the content. Maybe call in and encourage him with your comments and perhaps ask a question. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. We take a look at, a variety of subjects through the lens of the Orthodox Christian faith, and we've been doing this for more than 20 years. Our host is the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology. Again, we're on the web at myocn.net. We're also all over, as Father Chris indicated, social media. And I encourage you to check us out on Facebook and Twitter, etc., etc. And please let your friends know about this ministry. You are the best promotional tool we have. We'll be back in about 7 days with another broadcast. I hope you'll join us. In the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.